All right. Now, as we look at this, he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Praise God. So God's will for this earth is to be like it is in heaven. And all you have to do is ask yourself, well, how is it in heaven? And I don't think you have to have much theology to be able to come up with an answer. Heaven is a wonderful place. There's healing in heaven. Heaven has no crying, no depression. Heaven has no sickness, no poverty. Heaven doesn't owe any back bills. Heaven is a place full of joy, full of light. Say amen to that. There is no darkness in heaven. And Jesus said, pray that the earth be that way. Well, Jesus is one who came to demonstrate heaven on earth. He came to show us what heaven was really like. And if you go back in the scriptures and do some study, you'll see that heaven was displayed in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was the atmosphere of heaven. And in that garden, God had things going on, things happening that were a manifestation or representative of heaven. Now, when we talk about heaven, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about this place called the eternal. It's a place where Jesus came from, and it's a place when you and I got born again, we've got born again from the eternal. You and I, the eternal realm is our home. And in that eternal realm, of course, there is the glory of God. Now, this glory is powerful. Now, I'm just going to talk about that a little bit, and then I'll get on some faith and talk about faith. But we're still talking about free at last. That whatever's been bugging you, whatever's been trying to hold you back from your destiny, whatever's been annoying you, whatever's been trying to cripple you or keep you from a joyful heavenly life that God has paid for through his son, Jesus Christ, whatever's been delaying your opportunities, whatever's been holding back your joy and your peace, whatever's been crippling your body, whatever's been holding you down in any way, now tonight must let you go. Tonight it must let you go. Now I want you to see something here, because this is kind of an interesting thing. We talked about according to his riches in glory. And when we're talking about glory, that's kind of a term a lot of times people don't really understand. Let me see. I think I wrote some things about it here in this other book. That's why I was looking for it. But the glory has to do with the full attributes of something, the full manifestation of a thing. It's a full expression of God and his attributes, the glory. And this glory is a realm that is something that existed, that God used in creation of this earth, the glory of God. Let me see now. I'm going to try to explain this to you just a little bit, and I'm going to give it to you, and you don't have to go and get the rest of it for yourself. this glory is something that, I know, I wrote a couple of things down here where you can see kind of a sample of that. When we are talking about the glory, let's go over to Revelation and chapter 15, please. I wanted to hit Matthew chapter 3. Put some in Matthew chapter 3, please. We're coming back there. Matthew chapter 3. But come on over here to Revelation chapter 15. Now, this that I'm talking about now is, I believe, the highest order of manifestation of God in the earth. This idea about glory. Look what it says here in Revelation 15 and verse 8. He said, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was fulfilled." So here he's talking about the glory. And if you remember, over in the Old Testament, and I wrote it down here somewhere, over in the Old Testament, he talked about this glory filling the temple. I don't know whether you remember that, but he talked about this glory filling the temple. And as a result of this glory filling the temple, the priests couldn't even minister because the glory was there. Are you with me? Now, again, this glory brings you into heaven's atmosphere. And when you come into heaven's atmosphere, you don't have to lay hands on anybody. Heaven does it all. And the manifestation of that goes forth by his power. That the glory of God is God himself in that place representing himself. It is glory to God. Even in the Old Testament, I got scriptures down here somewhere. I know what it is. Just the moment I go home, I'll find every one of them. But it's the very presence of God. It's a tangible presence of God. And it's what God used to create things. Over let's just go back to it. I'm talking about the glory now. Let's go back over to Genesis chapter 1 very quickly. Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, he says here, I know I wrote these things down. Praise God. He said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God did what? Moved upon the face of the waters. And God," what? "Said, let there be," what? "Light," and there was light. Now notice what God spoke into. He spoke into the glory. And the thing of it is, when you have the presence of God with you, you can speak into it. And you can speak into it and speak creatively things into existence. God created you and I the same as he made himself. And Jesus, operated in this area of the glory. It says over in, let's go over here, over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 3 again, he said, I just want to get this out because this is in my spirit. He said over here in verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Now, the thing that I wanted you to see here is it says that the heavens were open unto him. And if you remember in the scriptures, this, whenever the heavens open, It gives you access to heaven's provisions. And those provisions could be healing. Those provisions could be financial deliverance. Whatever it is, if you recall Jacob's ladder, he saw heaven open and angels going up and down in heaven. Now, just listen to me if you can. Praise the Lord. In Malachi, let's go back. There's a couple of doors back to Malachi chapter 3. Look what he says as a result of tithing. He said, a result of tithing, he said, I will not open unto you the windows of heaven. So he talks about the windows there. So we're talking about an open heaven. Even I saw when Jesus blessed the people, in other words, he had multiplied the loaves and fishes. The Bible says he looked up to heaven. You can look at one of the accounts. He looked up to heaven. And as a result of him looking up to heaven, this heaven was open, and now when heaven's open, miracles take place. Now that's what I'm trying to get to you right now. When heaven's open, miracles take place. And if you are in the scriptures and you know anything about praise or praise and worship, the Bible says in Psalm 22 and 3 that God inhabits the praises of his people. So one of the ways that heaven can be opened up for you is that you start praising God. And you start praising God, and the glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to one more place. Let's go where we came from, at Revelation chapter 5. As you start praising God, God inhabits the praises. See, when he comes down, then whatever is not of him has got to go. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying he's going to beautify the meek with salvation. Isaiah 61. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 5 again in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. Now understand, whatever he's receiving, you're receiving. To receive riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and what else? Glory. I believe we're in the last days now, and where you saw in the scriptures where Moses struck the rock the first time, he had to strike it, and once he struck it, water gushed out. But now God moved Moses to another place. I'm talking about another place in the knowledge and revelation of God. And when he got to this next place, they wanted water. What did God tell Moses to do to the rock? Speak to it. I believe that we're in a place now where we're going to speak the word only. Where you're not, there's going to be such a presence of God in our meetings, in our sanctuary, because the glory is now got our redemptive Lord have mercy. Heritages, that which we've been born into, is part, glory is part of that, and that's going to be manifested in our lives. So the presence of the Lord always provokes the supernatural. Let's go to a place. Let's go to Psalms chapter 114. Psalms chapter 1 and 14. Are you there? When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled, and Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ail thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, and thou Jordan, that thou was driven back? You mountains, that you skip like rams, you little hills like lambs? Tremble thou earth at the what? Presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into standing water and flint into the fountains of water. So I'm just saying that one of the things that you and I need to always get, if we need a miracle, we need to get the presence of God in our lives. The presence of God provokes the supernatural and intervention of the Lord. And praise is a way that we can do that. Now, that's just one way we can do it. But I'm just saying Don't leave out praise, because praise is very powerful. It guarantees a change in your life. Praise means that God is taking over the battle. Praise is something that demonstrates your faith in God, that whatever you're dealing with, God is going to take it off of you. So as we do this, then praise comes in. We saw it in Acts chapter 16. Come on over there one more time, please. Acts chapter 16. Now, I'm only doing this now because what you're talking about is the supernatural. We're not talking about the natural anymore. We're talking about a God that can heal anything. We're talking about anything that's bothering you, troubling you, anything that's going on inside or outside of you, got to go. All right. Now, look what it says here, and that is Acts chapter 16, glory to God. Have you got it? And at midnight, verse 25, at Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, glory to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison was doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So you see here how praise and prayer went together, and a demonstration of their faith in God. And see what God did. He opened every prison door. Now in our lives, it might be something that might be trying to bug us, something that might be in our mind, something that might be in our heart, or something that might be wrong. And God comes in, and he comes in and delivers us through praise. Now, if you look at Psalm chapter 67, come on over there with me, please. Psalm chapter 67. And in Psalm chapter 67, now understand, when you're going up in the glory, in the eternal, you're going up into a different place. You're not going up into a place where you're self-conscious. You're going to a place where you're God-conscious. Look what it said in verse 5, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her," what? "Increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall do what? Shall fear him. So we're talking about praise, and the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands, and even lifting up hands has something to do with your deliverance. So I wanted to give that to you because that is very key. Sometimes people want a miracle, but they don't know what to do to get it. And I'm telling you what you can do to get it. Heaven has resources and you need them released. So to get them released, you need to open up heaven. And to open up heaven, you need to start praising God. And to start praising God, you've got to get your mind and your heart and your fixed on him. You've got to get it off of yourself. You can't be concerned about what other people think, how other people view you. You can't even be concerned about how you feel. Look what it says over in Psalm 100, please. Over in Psalm 100. He said this, and you know the scripture well, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And can you put them up there a little bit quicker? Do you know how to type that in a little bit quicker, please? "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that's made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates." Enter into his gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts, come on, with praise. Be thankful unto him, come on, and bless his name. Now, notice what this is demanding. This is demanding, before you even feel anything different, before you even see anything in your life, you're going to come with an attitude that you respect him, that you respect his power to be able to deliver you, no matter what anybody says, what doctor's report has come back, or what system is out there trying to affect your livelihood, that he will deliver you. Say amen to that. Amen. So we've got to be confident in the fact that when God says this is the way to do it, then this is what we call in the military protocol. When I come to a superior officer, protocol is that I stand to my feet and I salute him. That is protocol. You break protocol, it's like you dishonoring the rank that's above you, and you can actually be somehow dishonored, discharged, put in prison, whatever it is, because you broke protocol. I'm saying protocol is this. Protocol is not saying how I feel about it. Protocol is saying, wait a minute, I'm going to come into his presence with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you and thank you. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I thank you. Now heavens are opening up now. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for my healing, Lord. Thank you for my deliverance. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Now think about that. If God is telling you that's what you do, then it's only the devil that'll tell you don't do that. You got what I'm saying? So what you got to do is decide who you going to serve. Are you going to serve the devil? Are you going to serve self? Are you going to serve God? And every one of us, every knee is going to have to bow. Whether you do it today, tomorrow, next week, or in eternity, every knee is going to have to bow. So that's where we're going. The first thing I believe in opening up the heaven is we've got to honor the Lord as he is the one who created us. He is the one who has delivered us. He's the one who Jesus died for. He died for us. And now God is saying, you give me the honor, you give me the praise, and whoever's honoring me, I will honor them. That's in 1 Samuel. Got it? Now, tonight, we're just not going to stop with this. The Bible says in one place, they came to hear and to be healed. I like that combination. They came to Jesus to hear and to be healed. Now, there have been strong men sometimes that have been trying to hold back our healing or our deliverance. And we need to deal with the strong man. Let's go over to Mark's gospel, please, and verse chapter 3. Mark's Gospel in chapter 3. Over in Mark chapter 3, let me know when you get there. Verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and... No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first do what? Bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So sometimes what is happening is we hadn't dealt with a strong man. We hadn't dealt with a strong man. Now you got to understand how the strong man thing works. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. And over in Matthew chapter 5, here's an example of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 1, and they came over into the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Glory to God. Boy, healing is going forth in here right now. Woo-wee. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains and had been plucked asunder, chains had been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now, he was always day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, this is interesting because the Bible talks about Jesus said, Satan is coming, but he will find nothing in me. And that is found in John chapter 14 and verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk with you, much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Let's just stop here. What do we mean, nothing in me? When sin happens in our lives, and something significant against God's word, either by you committing it or it happens to you, what happens many times is there is a scar left. And it's a scar on our soul. And that scar on our soul is something that is there that when you and I try to get ahead, that scar is a place where demons still have legal right. And we keep repeating the same mistakes. Got it? Now, Jesus healed them all. He healed them of everything physically, emotionally. It didn't make any difference. Got it? And that's what sometimes people have to get loose from, because sometimes that scar is blocking the way to healing. Got it? Jesus said he's coming to me, but he'll find no legal right in me. Got it? So one of the things you have to do, the first step to getting rid of that scar, is repentance. So you and I repent for anything that we had done or for any unforgiveness, anything like that, let them go. Because the enemy's trying to use that to keep licensing him to keep you where you are or keep you in the same cycle of mistakes. Got it? But tonight, freedom. Now, so today, you and I, sitting here, we're going to confess. Repeat after me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, tonight. I release every person that has ever offended me, ever hurt me, ever bothered me in any way, that has placed a scar on my soul, that has caused me problems in my future. I release them now. And I also confess any area in my life that I have abused your word and not acted in accordance to your will. Everything that I've said, done, I ask forgiveness for every wrong deed in the name of Jesus. Now I receive freedom. I receive Jesus, whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. Now I thank you for it. I believe it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, that's the demoniac among tombs, something that keeps him entombed, something that is something in his life keeping control of him. And now this emotional side of us, this soul side of us, God's going to take care of it. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. As a matter of fact, he says in Matthew's gospel, and Matthew chapter 13, he says in verse, glory to God, in 15. In Matthew, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they had heard this? Verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. So anything in you that is not God, God has plans to root it up. He has planned to root it up. Now, I'm just talking about, because I'm not trying to point out any deficiencies in here, but I'm saying somebody might have been abused, somebody might have been raped, whatever have you, and they tried to leave a scar on your soul. I'm telling you, tonight is your night of freedom. Tonight is your night of deliverance. Tonight is your night. Jesus said, would you like to be made whole? That's the key right there. You are being made whole tonight, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Glory to God. So now, this idea of Jesus ministering. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. Glory to God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Woo! Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of what? Sickness and all manner of what? Diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And what did Jesus do? Now, what did Jesus do?
He healed them.
Now, you got to understand, he healed everybody. I said he healed everybody. It didn't make any difference who you were living with at that time. He healed you still. Now, I want you to get that, because tonight he's going to heal them all. We're not believing for one or two healings. We believe tonight he's going to heal them all. Say amen to that. Say free at last. And going over now to Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, look what he says here. This is verse 35. All right, verse 32. Let me get that one first. As they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out of the man, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casted out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what?
Underline every.
Every sickness, come on, and every disease among the people. Every sickness and every disease. Let me ask you, does that include Alzheimer's?
Yes.
Does that include AIDS?
Yes.
Does that include clogged up arteries?
Yes.
Does that include allergies?
Yes.
Does that include missing teeth?
Yes.
I'm just saying now, I don't want you to put any limits on it tonight. I said, I don't need no unbelief in here. I'm talking about every sickness and every disease. I'm talking about missing parts, get replaced. I'm talking about somebody had something removed, you're gonna get it put back tonight. I'm talking about it doesn't make any difference. Now, all we got to do is believe. I said, do I have some believers in here? Now, let's go all the way over now, and let's go all the way over to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15. Over in Matthew chapter 15, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus is the same. I said, Jesus is the same. I said, Jesus is the same. See, we have to get that strong man. See, we going after that strong man tonight because, see, the strong man is the general. But you've going, Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, so forth and so on. All right? So we are wrestling against an army. We are wrestling against a very organized group of demons. And you got to remember that the lower demons get their power from the higher demons. See, and the revelation of that is when David, Lord have mercy, I got to show you this. You got something in Matthew chapter 15, right? But let's go over real quick to 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Oh, I like this stuff. I said I like this stuff. Oh, yeah. Remember, the devil hadn't put anything on you that God can't get off. See, if that be the case, then the devil's power would be stronger than God's power. You got to remember, God made Satan. He didn't make him Satan, he made him Lucifer. But Lucifer decided he going to take over everything. And now he was cast down, and now we call him Satan or the devil or whatever has slew foot, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, and you can't be hoodwinked. You can't think something is this way and it's really not that. Remember this man telling me about this story that this man came to the preacher and said, you know, I saw the Virgin Mary last night. And he said, did you? He said, yeah, she was crying and so forth. He said, did you see that? She said, yeah. I said, I've seen it before. He said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, well, next time she appears, spit in her face. He said, what? He said, next time she appears, just spit in her face. And then the next night, I guess that image appeared again. He just, you know, got a good swath up and pew, let him have it. And the image turned into the most hideous demon that he had ever seen. That was the devil. See, he'll try to trick you and tell you that God did that to you. And God did that to you because he don't quite like you anyway. He didn't like your grandmother. And he's putting it on you because of this and that. No, no, no. It may be a hole in your soul. It may be something that the enemy has been using to get in there and not only put it on you, but keep it on you. Well, free at last. This is your night. Say amen to that. Now, the Holy Ghost is going to be showing you anything in your life that you need to get in and confess and just put the light of the word on it. Remember, the word is light, and darkness can't stand light. And the entrance of thy word giveth light. And when light shines on darkness, it'll heal it. It'll heal that part of you. Praise God. What did I tell you I was going to show you? 1 Samuel. All right, look at 1 Samuel, and this 1 Samuel chapter 17. There's a concept here. And look what he says here in verse. Now, they're coming up against Goliath here. And look what it says here, verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. This is a giant named Goliath. And said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And you, servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. All right. Now look what he says here, because this is a principle. That Goliath is the strong man. And he said that if you are able to kill me, then we will be your servants. Got it? Got it. All right. Hold something in Matthew chapter 15 again and come back to Mark. I've just been led to do this. Mark chapter 5. Let's just finish that up one more time. We'll finish that up. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but you're going to hear what I got to say. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look what it says again. Are you with me? This man was in caves and so forth, and tombs, and cutting himself. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God." Now, these are all military terms. "That you torment me not." Watch this. And he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" He answered and said, "My name is" who?
Legion.
"For we are" who?
Many.
Now, what is he saying here? Not so much that how many demons there are, but that he's the head. He's the strong man. And watch, when Jesus deal with the strong man, all the other demons scatter. And what we've been doing is we've been dealing with all the other demons. And if we just get the strong man, then we can finish the fight. But you got the strong man back there that he's still pushing demons up to you. So you've steady fighting demons every day. Get the strong man and the fight will be over. Now, he just didn't defeat Goliath with a rock. What did he do after that? He cut his head off. I'm telling you, it ain't done till you cut the demon's head off. You cut the head off of that thing that's been bothering you. Say amen to that. All right. Turn back to Matthew 15 here and let's see, can we try to work this thing towards a close? Praise God. I said, praise God. Look what it said in Matthew 15. Where am I? What did I say? I was at 15. Okay. Look what it says here in verse. Well, let's start here at, Lord have mercy. This is where he called that woman that dog. Okay. Let's go down here. That's him. Let's go. See, the woman knew. She saw something, see. She wasn't going to be offended. Sometimes people are offended when a man of God talks, especially when he talks and talks real plain, you know what I mean? People get offended. Don't get offended, because that's the devil trying to get you to negate your deliverance for tonight. Verse 29, and Jesus departed from thence. He came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And what did he do? He healed them. How many of you think he healed? Every one of them. Now, some of them were maimed. What does maimed mean? They were missing parts. So what did Jesus do? Come on now, what did he do? He restored the parts. He made them whole again. And sometimes people's bodies are not working properly because something was wrong from birth. But Jesus is going to restore that. I'm talking about tonight. See, I'm not talking about he's going to do it in time. We're looking for this tonight. We want manifestations. I don't know about you, but I want to see it. Folks, all we just need is to open heaven. And we're going to get that. Because that's opening up right now. I can feel it. All right. Let's go one more place. Let's go down and come over here. Let's go two more places. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, healing belongs to you. Say that.
Healing belongs
to me. Say to me. All right, so healing belongs to me. Say it again. It's been bought and paid for. It is not something I have to pray for. Because it belongs to me. Only the enemy will try to get you to work for what God has already given you. You don't have to work for it. It belongs to you. Now, what we need to do is get the devil off of your property. Sickness does not belong to you. Don't be saying, my arthritis is not yours. It's not yours. See, that's why you many times can't get rid of it. God can't violate your speech. You tell that arthritis, get off of my body. You ain't don't belong to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All right. Look what it says here. Glory to God. I got a lot of stuff working here. All right. You with me? All right. Let's look here at Matthew chapter 8. And this is when a centurion came to Jesus. Now, we're talking about taking all the limits off of God tonight. We're going to let God be God. Verse 5. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. That's just like me saying, there's a guy over in Gary there sick. Or there's a guy in Philadelphia. You follow what I'm saying? And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, no, you don't need to come. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word only. I said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's it. For I am a man where? Under authority, having soldiers where? Under me. And I say to one, go, and he goeth. Another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus said, and marveled, and said to them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Lord, have mercy. Then verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast what? Believe, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Lord, have mercy. So you can have somebody at home. You can have a relative at home. I said you can have a relative at home tonight. How many of you know there is no distance with God? Come on over to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7. Now, Jesus is the same. Put up there on the board, please. Would you put up on the board Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, please. Thank you. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's right there. No, that's what it said. It said it in Matthew's gospel, chapter 18. If Matthew, put up there Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, please. Matthew 18 and verse 20. I want to show you this. Because I don't want you to put up an argument with me when you get healed. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, come on, there I am in the midst of them. Are you and I gathered together?
Yes.
Are we at least two or three?
Yes.
Is Jesus here?
Yes.
Are we gathered together in his name?
Yes.
I got the big sign up here that says Jesus is the reason why we coming in here. So notice, he's here tonight, and he's doing the same thing tonight as he did then. He's healing tonight. He's delivering tonight. He's getting the maimed whole tonight. He's replacing parts tonight. He's mending the brokenhearted tonight. He's delivering from skin disorders tonight. He's healing things that the physicians can't get healed tonight. Come on, Alebeshete. He is causing pain to leave tonight. He's opening blinded eyes tonight. He's opening deaf ears tonight. He's giving new hearts tonight. He's causing kidneys to come back online tonight. He's causing any kind of female disorders to be healed tonight. And if you're listening to me by internet, he's doing it the same thing he's doing here, he's doing there. We don't need to come to your house. We just speak the word only, and who's at the house shall be healed. Hallelujah. Look what it says in Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 31, please. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, he just gave me one more scripture here. I said he just gave me one more scripture. Ooh-wee. Something's going to happen up in here. I said something's going to happen up in here. See, free at last means that he's not going to only heal your body, but all the money that you spent, he's going to get it back in your bank account. I'm talking about free at last. Look what he says in Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. And again, he departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Now, I am not spitting on anybody tonight. Now, I know the Holy Ghost ain't attempted to do that. And looking up to heaven, there it is, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open, not only for his ears, but for heaven. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but they went, and he charged him so much more, a great deal, and they published it. They told everybody that they saw. Luke chapter 5, last place. Praise God in heaven. Alabashata. I tell you, it's time for miracles. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I said, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm going to put that in the present tense. The power of the Lord is present to heal them. Whatever you've got tonight, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Now, I want you to be like those, what I call, four crazy friends. These are people who brought the man on the stretcher and brought him to Jesus, but they couldn't get in because so many people were blocking the way and they couldn't get in by any way. So what happened to them? What did they do? They went up on the roof. Come on now, y'all know the story. Went up on that roof and broke it open. And once they broke that roof open, then they begin to lower this man down. And right in the middle of while Jesus was preaching, they didn't care what Jesus thought about it. Because once you walk in by faith, you're not looking at what people think about you. So what happened? Jesus saw their faith and said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, this is the same account that you can read right here under what we just read here. He said in verse 20, and he, when he saw their faith, he said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. What was happening? He had to let him know also that the sins and diseases many times come in the same package. Many times, what I'm saying is it's a double cure. Not only did Jesus take your sins on the cross, but he also took your sickness as well. And the Bible says the man got up and took up that bed and got out of there. I'm saying whatever you had when you came in here, get ready to get rid of it right now, because your sins have been forgiven you. So what we're going to do first is we're going to open these heavens real quick. I want you to get up out of your chair and we're going to praise God. We're going to open these heavens up. We're going to let God know that He is still God in the house of God. We just want the anointing of God, the glory of God, the healing power of God to pour down not only through this place, but every person that's listening to me by internet or any church, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's now present in the place where you are right now and is quickening your mortal body. In the name of Jesus, you are no longer a slave to sickness and disease. You no longer have to bow down to depression and any of the things that Satan might try to bring to you. You're no longer walking in fear and in doubt and in unbelief, because the presence of the Lord is here. And when His presence is here, His virtue is here. His healing is here. His deliverance is here. I speak to every allergy. I speak to every allergy. I command you, go in Jesus' name. I speak to hardening arteries. I command you, be healed in Jesus' name. Every chest pain, go in Jesus' name. Every stiffness of joints, go in Jesus' name. Every physical disease, go in Jesus' name. Every sexual disease, go in Jesus' name. Every missing part, I command you, come in Jesus' name. I command now the power of the devil to be broken over your mind. In Jesus' name, be broken over your family by His stripes. You are healed. He is a great physician. I declare prosperity, health, joy into your life. Alzheimer's, go. Blindness, go. Kidney failure, go. Liver disease, go. All kinds of cancer, go. HIV, go. Post-traumatic syndrome, go. Homosexuality, go. Brain disorder, brain tumors, go. Any kind of barrenness, go. Mental retardation, go. In the name of Jesus, all burns, all scars, all melanoma, go. In Jesus' name, all premature aging, go. In Jesus' name, all disease of the gums, go. In Jesus' name, all ear diseases, go. All TB, go. In Jesus' name, all emphysema, go. All sleeplessness, go. In Jesus' name, sickle cell, go. In Jesus' name, any kind of neuritis, go. In Jesus' name, now I release Jesus. I release the blessing. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. In Jesus' name. Now give God praise, cause it's done.
Sure.
Give me a blood song. Blood song. It's healing right now. It's healing. The heavens are open. The miracle working power of God is working right now. Right now. Oh, yeah. Eyes are being opened right now. Yes, you even had a pain on the right side of your head, it's gone. Glory to God. In your left elbow, it's gone. In the name of Jesus. Come on, you feel it in your stomach. Your stomach was bothering you when you came in here. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. The anointing is here. His presence is here. His healing power is here. It's over internet. It's in our churches. It's there. All right. Take a seat for just a minute. All right. Everyone, you feel it. You experience something healing your body. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here. Right now, we're going to testify. We're going to shame the devil right now. Right now, get up out of your chair. Come on up here. Stand right up here. Stand over here. Hold it. We got other people. Stand right there. Stand right there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Stand. Stand right there. Get in line. That's it. Get in line behind her. All right. All right. Yes, get in line. Get in line. You stand right here. You got two lines. One going that way, one going this way. You experience healing in your body. That's what I'm looking for right now. Don't tell me about something that happened 20 years ago. I'm talking about happening tonight. I'm talking about happening tonight. We're going to have some notable miracles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can move my bag out of the floor right there so they won't trip over it. All right. All right. What happened to you? Turn around to the camera, to the people so they can see you.
I've had 6 surgeries on my foot in the last 2 years, and I still have a lot of swelling in them. Arthritis swollen out in my knee, and I pray, and I know that the Lord has taken it all out of my knee.
Don't
say,
you can't feel it now.
Nothing in my knee, nothing.
Give the Lord a praise. Come on, give the Lord a praise. We're praising him tonight. That is right there. That's the evidence right there. Come in.
My chest has been hurting for the last 3 or 4 days, and I just prayed and God, and I feel it.
Just
it's gone.
Yes, done. Come on.
Hi, I had a headache from allergies, and it's been bothering me, and I had a doctor tell me to take medicine, and I was believing God for healing. I came tonight and got healed.
Praise God. God healed tonight.
I had carpal tunnel in my arm.
You had what in your arm?
Carpal tunnel. Like, okay. It was starting all the way down my arm.
Yeah, what happened to it? What was it?
It's gone. The pain was gone. I couldn't even hardly carry a bottle of water.
And it's gone. Give God praise. Lift your hands up and give him praise. Come on.
I was in need of emotional healing and healing from MS, and I feel like I've been healed.
Yeah, because you can't feel it, that heaviness anymore. That thing lifted up off you, didn't it? I know it.
I just came from the doctor today. I done had 2 hip replacements, saying that I had arthritis in my hips and in my leg. I had lung cancer.
Yeah.
And today he told me I was going to have back surgery, but tonight I don't think so.
All right. Now, wait a minute. What happened to you tonight?
I felt better than I have felt in a whole life.
You feel anything in your back right now?
No, I do not.
Go ahead and give God praise for it then. Come in. Come over here. Get out of the way so the camera can move.